Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. As you sit with what freedom from suffering looks like for you with the process of control, allow to arise in conscious, compassionate awareness a way to train to be free from the suffering around control. Assignment: make a commitment that embodies your training focus. This will be your daily practice for the next 7 days. Remember, as awareness practitioners, our practice of commitment is not about achieving a content goal. We're always training to pay attention. Example, I'm going to make a recording that is reassuring to the person who feels out of control and listen to it 3 times a day, as well as when I notice the conversation whipping up anxiety or fear.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Well, hello, Jill.
Hello there.
What are you seeing?
Well, this has been just the most extraordinary experience. And what I saw was that what the lie is that I'm not connected authentically, that somehow this sort of true nature of being connected to all things doesn't apply to me, that I actually have to work really hard at it in order to be connected. And so to just start hearing the message on my recordings that I am connected to all things at all times is like pretty extraordinary, I have to say.
Well, yes, and what's so perfect for those of us not in that particular form of that belief system,
yeah,
is the clarity that the only thing keeping you, in this case, in a feeling of not being connected is the focus on the needing to work hard.
Exactly.
In order to be connected.
Oh,
it's
my
so
gosh.
It's so perfect, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It has kept me working so hard on this for so long that just the efforting it was a huge scam that was revealed, and how relaxing it is to just know that I just need to put my attention on connection and that,
yes,
I'm connected.
Yes, because connection, which is a synonym for peace and enjoyment and everything else we're looking for, happiness,
mm-hmm,
that's there when we stop doing everything else. Right? That's what that means.
Yeah. When I stop seeking it, or I stop striving for it. I mean, it really is.
Yes. Stop. The way, of course, we usually talk about it is stop identifying with an ego that is attempting to maintain the illusion of being separate from life, namely not connected. And when I no longer identify with that ego, come back here, space between the thoughts, connected.
Yeah. And you know what just dropped in is that image of the thief who steals something and then helps you try and locate it.
Right. Yeah.
And, I don't have to do that anymore. So.
Yeah, here says ego, let me help you feel connected.
Yeah.
Let me help you find connection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is a great image for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what you're seeing. I ask you what you're seeing. That's what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're hearing because I hear those gorgeous birds outside your window.
Yeah. I mean, there are gorgeous birds outside my window. I'm not sure if there's also someone else who has that.
I see.
But there's
so they may be outside Ashwini's window.
They're outside.
We cannot
everywhere.
Be sure.
And I actually
they're definitely outside my window.
Okay.
they're everywhere, and I have a robin's nest on my porch who has two little chicks that is feeding right now, actually. Actually, three little chicks I can see, so yeah. Spring is everywhere. Beautiful.
Spring is everywhere, and we are connected. And what connects us? Love.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Jill.
Thanks, Jill.
Sherry, I'm going to bring on the next caller because my cue is behaving in an odd way. So here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Carol from Fort Townsend, Washington.
Well, Carol, let me tell you, I intuited that it was you. And before I ask you what you're seeing, I will tell you, having nothing to do with intuiting that it was you. But after we spoke on open air on Tuesday, Ashwini and I had a conversation in which she said, it is so remarkable. I have tried to bring Carol on so many times, and every time the cue just would not cooperate. I couldn't get her on. And then there's Carol. Way up there in Washington, having the experience that she's having, right, listening to the voices interpret everything and fit it into her karma, right? And it was the most beautiful picture of how the intelligence that we are is orchestrating our lives perfectly in every moment. So good to hear your voice. What are you seeing?
Oh, well, what I'm seeing about this thing about control, it's about lack of trust, you know, trusting myself and trusting other people and wanting to control things so everything's okay. And so I realized what I want to do is make some recordings about trust, you know, what I see, what I can trust, and or what I do trust. And,
well, if I may, that little tale that I just told is what you want to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Not you. You don't want to trust you. Okay? You don't want to trust you. You don't want to trust other people. No. Those are both ego domains. Right?
Okay.
What we want to trust is the life that we are. Because that is what is and always has been orchestrating everything perfectly for us.
Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of trusting the universe.
It's not what?
It's a matter of trusting the universe. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, and even more specifically, because that's a bit abstract, and ego is able to get hold of that. But when you look at your life, your very own life, has it gone well for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the proof that we have of that, if we lack any other proof, is that you and I are having this conversation.
Yeah.
That you are on a path that is guaranteed to end suffering in a lifetime if we devote ourselves to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can trust what's living you.
Mm-hmm. What's living me? Okay, all right. So I'll make recordings about this.
Yes, ma'am. And as you do it, you're going to see more and more and more about it. You're going to have greater and greater clarity. Just example after example of the times that life has worked out beautifully for you. Where you didn't trust, where you thought X, Y, or Z, and then looking back on it, you can see, that's what I saw. That's how I grew. That's how I changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's like trust in the process of my life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
Thank you,
my dear.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's so beautifully said, Sherry. I trust in what's living me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly going to make recordings about that, because I think it's important that we get that we're not here for any reason other than to awaken spiritually, and that mm-hmm. the process of awakening does involve adversity, because if without adversity, I'm not introduced to what won't awaken.
Yes, exactly. What's stopping me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Ashwini, when you lay that out like that, it's, I think it's helpful and important. Not that I want people to go, I'm not encouraging anybody to go off in this direction, but just let the clarity drop in for you. It's not just this practice. It's not just Zen. It's not just Buddhism. It's every spiritual path has as its point waking up. Now, mm-hmm. however that is defined, in whether it's a theistic orientation or a non-theistic orientation, it doesn't matter. The point is the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the process is the same, too.
You cannot, and the process not, is the same.
Yeah, because the human yeah. condition and the experience of attachment and sorrow and avoidance and delusion is universal.
Precisely.
It's just what it is. Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
Next caller. We have these deeply spiritual conversations and then switch to bringing on the next caller.
Yes, which is all part of it, right? It's all
yeah.
part of it, yeah.
All right, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Sherry in San Francisco.
Good morning, Sherry. What are you seeing on this gorgeous spring morning?
I know. And I did have birds outside of my studio just now, too. So, loving that. This conversation is exactly what I've been looking at in this part of the retreat. And what I saw when I was making my recording yesterday was this metaphor dropped in that really spoke to me, which was that every single tiny moment that I'm trying to control something, you know, trying to control mm-hmm. the future, trying to control anything,
mm-hmm. is like yourself.
Yes. It's just like slamming a door, and that it cuts off exactly what you guys were just talking about. It cuts off the trust. It cuts off all of the beautiful wisdom and guidance that comes in. Mm-hmm. And when I was recording about that, it really helped me to kind of really viscerally get it. How, mm-hmm. you know, we always say this is life or death. But again, I really got it that shut door is death in the moment.
Yes. 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 And if we go for the big one of those, life and death, in any moment, you could be dead.
Yeah.
Sherry, do you hear that sound?
Sometimes.
Sounds like the technology is running. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Sometimes I do. I'm not hearing it right now.
No, nor am I. Maybe we just needed to bring awareness to it, conscious attention to it, and it decided to hide. So at any rate, that is something important to keep in mind. So at any moment, we could be gone. How do we want to go? Where do we want to be when it's time to go? And we can all intuit that it's not identified with ego trying to control us and inflicting suffering.
Wow. Sherry, when you just said that, I was just reminded of when, you know, when we're meditating through midnight on New Year's, you know, through New Year's Eve to New Year's. And mm-hmm. you know, you've always said that, like, you know, end this year the way you want to start the next one. And it's the same thing, right?
Yes.
Like,
only on a moment-by-moment basis.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And you're so...
Yeah, we just don't want to choose unconsciousness even for a second. And we don't need to feel bad that we do. We're deeply conditioned to. But when we wake up, We want to look around and say a heartfelt thank you, because this is where we want to be. Eyes wide open, alert and awake. For whatever.
Exactly.
For whatever is.
Yes, and I had some just absolutely beautiful, just miraculous sort of things that dropped in this week. Just crazy beautiful synchronicities and miracles that I was awake for. And I think that's what helped me to see. Like, I could never have thought up certain things.
That's how you knew, that's how you recognized it for what it was. If you hadn't been awake for it, you wouldn't have recognized it. You would have heard an ego story about something wrong and not enough. You know, the ego would like us to believe that, no, if it's good enough, if life is good enough, you'll see that it's miraculous. No, not when we're identified with ego. We won't.
Wow.
We don't.
Wow. I'm so grateful. I feel like every month we just go deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, it's so beautiful.
Yes, and I happen to know what we're going to be doing next month, and it's a buckle your seatbelt kind of a deep dive into where we want to live.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to stay awake for that then. That's for sure.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Steve Gasho. Bye-bye.
Gasho.
Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Sherry. What dropped in when I was listening to that conversation, Sherry, is something you often also point out, that in the preparation for the moment of death, it's really that we live our end, that we're living for every moment. It's actually the quality of how we live that we regret at the moment of death. And so to know that that's sort of the... that's what we're preparing for, actually allows us to live in every moment now and have the life and never regret that we didn't.
It precisely, exactly, absolutely it. Right. To the point where, I may be taking this too far for a lot of people, but we're not confused about whether we're living or dying.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller?
Good morning. This is June.
Hello. Hey, June.
Hey.
What are you seeing?
The unmuted came several seconds after Ashwini asked me to introduce myself, so I was waiting.
Patiently waiting, and here you are.
And here I am. Well, these have been great discussions this morning, right on topic for what I've been looking at. And the way...
We planned it that way, June.
Yes. Yes, it always feels that way. So the way it kind of goes through my head as how I am being controlled is that I guess I get bamboozled. That willingness and enthusiasm waxes and wanes. And I easily fall for there being something wrong with that.
Rather than something that you can notice.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, June, I know mm-hmm. you know this, since you're the one who put it into print. I think it's in the key where we say willingness is what's there when I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Which points to me directly to what you're looking at, that ego cons us into believing I have to feel a certain way about willingness, or there's something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, willingness is what's there when I don't want to. Yeah. When I've gone through a period of enthusiasm and willingness is easy to touch into, that feels great. When that wanes, when grasping the willingness has to be the action, I think something has gone wrong.
Yes.
Something is now wrong. You've done something wrong. I fall for it again and again and again. And,
well, if I may, you used to, and now you've seen this, right? And this is where we start making the recordings and putting up the little signs around the house and that sort of thing, so that we don't forget the clarity that we've reached, that is a bamboozle. There's not any truth to it at all. And so now you see through that con, and now you're in a place of practicing not falling for it any longer. And one other thing that I want to add to that, which to me is maybe the most important part. What we're learning to do is love unconditionally, right? So there's somebody who's trying really hard to, in our case, wake up and end suffering, right? And it trying really hard to do that and gets bamboozled by the system that is trying really hard to keep us from waking up and ending its imaginary existence, right? Which is suffering. And so in our practice of unconditional love, when a person is in one of those, the bottom of an undulation, is not just sparkly and enthusiastic and excited, that's when we want to remember to love unconditionally. Because what we're doing is not based on performance or outcome.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Now you might want to add all this to your recordings for her.
Yes. Miraculously, last night in bed, after I had turned off the light, I was just thinking about just wondering what had gone on. And it dropped in, turn the light on, pick up the recorder, make a two-handed recording about this.
Good for
And
you.
I did it. And I did it. Yeah. And this morning, the energy is back. I mean, it's all back.
Yes.
Just from that movement.
That's right. And now you can make a recording about what went, in quotes, right.
What went right.
All right. Thank you, June.
Thank you.
Thank you, June. And, you know, Sherry, for me, that place of lack of enthusiasm is my best opportunity also to identify with what I am rather than what I'm not. Because the enthusiasm is the identification with the possibility that's life. And there's a process which we all are familiar with that leeches that enthusiasm until the awareness is completely collapsed and the identification with ego is complete. So my lack of willingness is not mine, it's ego's.
Yeah. And now we had such a great picture of how to turn that around.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Carol in San Francisco.
Well, hello, Carol. What are you
Good
seeing?
Good morning.
Oh, on this beautiful May Day. So happy May Day to everyone, lest we forget to... Uh-huh. What are you seeing?
It is a beautiful day. Oh, my gosh. The birds are amazing. I am seeing that... two things. How controlled I am by conditioning, and I don't have any idea that it's going on usually. And so I even see it in awareness practice and just everywhere. I'm also seeing that feeling bad is just so normal. It's almost a motivation, I'm told. But really, it's the conditioned story is that you can't handle it. So whatever comes up, the first subconscious thought is, oh, you won't be able to handle it. You should brace against it and resist. So I'm looking at watching when that thought immediately, first sensation, something's wrong, something's bad, something's wrong. And it's very interesting because I feel like I'm practicing with a little something wrong radar.
Right. Yes. Well, you are. You are. And the thing that is so remarkable about this to me, we use the word illusion a lot in practice because about 99.44% of what everybody is living in all the time is illusion. And that's what you're describing. And so to just get back from it and marvel at how extraordinary that is, that we are so caught up in an illusion that it feels so real to us, that what goes on inside my head, I deeply believe, is real, and it's not.
That's shocking. That is
really, it's shocking.
That's so powerful.
It's so powerful. Yeah, and so that's what you're really seeing, right? And you're seeing the knee jerk. So there you are. Something happens. Now, if ego didn't come in a split second to say, oh, there's something wrong, well, you would just be living in life where life is unfolding. And you wouldn't get any information that says there's something wrong and you can't handle it, because that doesn't exist in life. It only exists in that conditioned illusion inside our head.
Exactly. Well, yesterday I was practicing it in the morning, and every time I was bike riding, and I practiced with every time a sensation would come along, or the initial thought, something's wrong. And then I would just pick up my recorder while I was cycling and just say, oh, because, I don't know, a red light or a bird flew over or something, whatever the thing was that triggered it. And it just uncovers it immediately right before the turnoff. And then what I'm told I can't do is sit with, it's only a few seconds, really, or a few moments, what comes next. I'm told that I can't do that. I can't sit with a sensation of, oh, my God. And it dissolves so quickly to just sit there and go, oh, that's really, really? Is that so? Really?
Well, here's the fun part of it. I've met you in person, and so I know you are older than 5. if you were 5 and somebody said to you, you know, Carol, bad things are going to happen and you're not going to be able to handle it, you would go, and it would be distressing, right? It would be fear and anxiety producing, and you would shut down, and we can picture that little 5-year-old in that position. But you've been facing things for a lot of years past age 5, and you've handled every one of them.
Yeah, it's like the cattle crossing, the little painted lines on the road, you know, that we believe it because we've heard it so long. And in another orientation, they call them the ants, automatic negative thinking. There's about 10 of them, catastrophizing, all or nothing.
Yes.
And that's also another cool tool to pull out. So you go, oh, wait, that's the catastrophizing one right there.
That's right. So. That's right. And And then what you're doing, what I project you're doing, which is reinforcing the fact that, and this is where the recordings come in, actually, as far as we know, you can handle anything. Because you've already handled thousands of things that the voices said you couldn't handle. Millions of things. Since it's pretty much a moment by moment, I guess we could go to billions. I'm not that good with numbers, but a bunch.
Yeah, and everybody around me is handling everything too. And that's interesting.
Yes.
They're handling it.
Now,
and
they're handling it. Now, does it mean that people get unhappy? That has nothing to do with it. That's just what happens when people believe an illusion in their head rather than being present for life as it is.
Oh, so it's two different lives.
It's it's two different realities. One with a capital R, one with a small r, because it's not real. You just
I just think this is so important.
It is. It's, as Sherry mentioned, life and death.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Carol.
Oh, wow. Lots to think about. Thank you very much. Not thinking
And don't think about it. Don't think about it.
No thinking.
Just grin. Just grin and let the insights drop in.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's the way to be. All right. Thank you.
That's the way to be. Thank you, Carol.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol and Sherry. That brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for today. Beginning today, your daily practice will be to practice your commitment and record what you notice at the end of the day.
The fun begins.
The fun begins. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.